Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Do you know there was a movement some years ago where people were challenged by some foolish talk show people to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? I just want to say for anybody who may have done damage and violence to their soul, if their conscience perked up and they felt bad about it somewhere, and it still bothers you, there's hope for you. But if everything goes silent for you, that's when you've gone across that line. And you ought to be very afraid. Verse 11 says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues." Now, he's talking near and far, remember? And the disciples get both sides of this, whereas a lot of the people in the crowd will not get both sides. So the disciples get the near of the church age, and the near is they're going to bring them in front of synagogues. They're not going to have a Bible. They're not going to have a Bible yet. Paul wouldn't have written it when they're in the book of Acts, and they're brought before the Pharisees, and they're said, "Stop preaching in this man's name." And they say, "Well, tell us, shall we obey God or men?" Those kind of things. They didn't have a word from the Bible, per se, because the New Testament hadn't been written. They didn't know what spirit truly they were of yet. And so when he gives this, don't think that means you don't have to prepare to teach a class or preach a message, that the Holy Spirit's going to give you whatever when you get there. No. That's just laziness. We got to prepare ahead of time. And some people have used this kind of things, that the Holy Spirit will teach you what you shall say in the same hour, in verse 12. See, that's faulty use of the Scriptures, right? But he's telling them, you're going to be put in front of the synagogues, kicked out of the synagogues. That was happening even in Jesus' time. He says he'll teach you if you're there and that's your circumstance, and that would be many of the disciples' circumstance. Verse 13, he says, "And then a man cried out in the crowd," and he says, "Master, please tell my brother to divide this inheritance with me." You say, where'd that come from and how does that relate? I know, right? I've had to read this thing all week and I've been like, okay, Lord, I need more light. I need more light. Well, I think what we have here is a further definition of what it means to be falling prey to hypocrisy. First thing, make us play the hypocrite like the Sadducees, Pharisees, who had a real nice working relationship with Pilate and Herod. I mean, these guys were like crazy in cahoots with this person. They were even telling him where Messiah would be born on the night of the Nativity. Oh, it's in Bethlehem. Well, thank you for that information. Now you go back and you have nice little tasty cakes and your nice little recliner. Because that's what they got. They got paid off and they had influence. And it's what happened in the church in 300 AD, another story. The church married the state. But what he has here is you have a man talking about inheritance. Look what he says in verse 14. Jesus answered him and said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And the reason this is so interesting is because what we have is the second reason we might fall prey to hypocrisy. It's because of covetous hearts. So we could say it's because of the fear of man, and it's also because of the fullness of the heart. This man's all lit up. Jesus is great. He's amazing. I'm going to tell him what I want. And what I want is I want my part of the inheritance. The Holy Spirit's going to tell these guys what they need to say. And you're asking me about the inheritance? That's not the Holy Spirit telling you to ask me that. Who told you that? And then he's getting them to it. Your heart told you to say that. You see, this world we live in is full of covetousness. We all know what it is because it dwells inside of us. Paul said, "I would not have known lust if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet." It's the same thing. It just could be for physical stuff or it could be for financial stuff. It could be for any number of things. Status. But the thing is that we have covetousness, and if you are given over to it, you will find that you will be more prone to become and play the hypocrite. Because suddenly you're going to equivocate so that you can keep your job. You say, you're saying that a couple of times, you're making me a little nervous. Am I supposed to lose my job? Well, you do everything you can. But if you do, make sure it's for the right reason. Make sure it's not because you're stealing time witnessing on the clock. Okay, I'm not telling you to do that. That's not anything I said. That's not what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. Unless you can. Okay, if you can, do it. I mean, you've got a lot of time. You're sitting there at GM and you were the guy who had one job to do and nothing happens unless something breaks. I remember guys played video games all day long. He could witness all day long. That was over at GM back in the day. But if you can't do it, don't be stealing the time of people. Don't be covetous about the time. And I'm just saying, it makes sense. He's saying, beware of covetousness. Now, who made me a divider in verse 15? Beware of covetousness. That is a issue of the heart. Somebody has well said, the heart of the matter is often the matter of the heart. And that's what we see here. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the things he possesses. Why does he say anything about this? Why does Luke pile this in here? Because he's showing you what will make a hypocrite out of us. We fear man and we have a full heart. And right now, all of us have been on a little bit of a merry-go-round and dizzy because of the changing of the world around us. Our love affair with this world has been challenged. It has been shattered in many ways. You can't have fun easily anymore unless you do exactly what Jesus said back in chapter 11 about let your eye be single. Then you can rejoice in reading your Bible quietly and be glad someone said you can't go out and play and you stayed in and grabbed your Bible and found that there were some pretty exciting things there to be enjoyed. And now you found you had a wife or a husband you could talk to, or you got the puzzle out, as somebody said they like to do puzzles. Maybe that became more endeared to you. You were able to read again. And I'm just saying the simplicity that God intends for you to enjoy is something that is still in fashion for the believer. He says, beware of covetousness. And he spake a parable. Now, this parable is one that's very familiar. It's about the man who had barns. And he says, you know what? I'm going to build bigger barns and all that. I'll be good for many days. And in the end, he says, I'm going to be cheerful and I'm going to have a wonderful time. But God says to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. Look at verse 19. He says, I will say to my soul. No, it's not your soul. Bible declares very plainly, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. All souls are mine. He says, I will say to my soul. That's a problem. Verse 22, it says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. We've heard this before. This is Matthew 6:33, the whole idea of seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, don't worry about what you shall eat or what you shall put on. See, these were largely simple people. They weren't worried about what they were going to drive. Doesn't even say anything about where they'd live. He says they were worried about whether they were going to eat. They were worried about what they were going to wear. They were going to have enough clothes to keep them warm at night when it got cold. He says, your Father knows all about that. He says, don't take any thought. Now, I want to just unpack verse 22 where it says, take no thought. Literally, the word means, don't be anxious about this. You are supposed to be wise. The Bible commends wisdom. Even Paul himself said to Philemon, prepare me also a lodging, because I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So he was preparing ahead of time. The book of Proverbs says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and giveth her food in the harvest. No, he's telling them, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious for your life. God already's got your back. You do what you can. God will take care of the rest. You do what's proper. Sometimes you can't get to the things you would like to get to because you're busy doing something else. So you didn't get the garden in. Don't fret. God knows. You might wring your hands and you might be worried, but don't worry because God's in charge. Now, the Bible says further, he says, your life is more than meat and raiment. He says, look at the ravens. God feeds them. Verse 24. Can you even add a cubit to your stature in verse 25? 18 inches. That'd be 7 foot an inch or two. Yeah, I'm thinking he's got Zacchaeus there in the corner. You know, he said, if you wanted a cubit, you want 18 inches. He said, you can't. And look what he says. He says, if you can't add a cubit to your stature and you can't even do one of these least things, verse 26, why is it you take thought of the rest? If that's the least, man. You know, it amazes me that God feeds all the animals in this world. It amazes me. In fact, that's one of the things he told Job when Job was kind of, please, God, give me an audience so I can plead my case. God showed up and he started letting him have it. He said, were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did this? Are you there in the wilderness when I feed these? I was thinking, man, I really, now I got my eyes in my head and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, what's God going to say? And I look at it so different because if you think about it, these animals, these critters, these little creatures, they're all being fed as we speak right now. 7 billion people on the earth, potentially feedable if it weren't for tyrants and dictators. All of them. We got plenty of room. Everybody could fit in Jacksonville, Florida if we went shoulder to shoulder. Now, you wouldn't want to live there. But because it'd be pretty tight. But that's how many people could fit in the Jacksonville, Florida, shoulder to shoulder, the entire population of this earth. So it's not overpopulated. That's just what they want you to think. So you'll be panicking and agree with them that the world should be whittled down to 500 million, which means with vaccines and so forth, they want to get rid of about 6.5 billion people. That is on the Georgia stones, and many people embrace that philosophy. Bill Gates, by the way, is one of them. And he wants to get the population down. Smart as he is, he's stupid. Okay, I'm just saying. He says, consider the lilies. He's talking about the raiment. He says, God's got that. He's taking care of the fields. Verse 29, seek ye not what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things the nations seek after. But your Father knows you have need of these things in verse 30. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, very important, because he's gone from the near disciples, and he's kind of branched out, and he's kind of teaching everybody. And when he starts talking more about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, they were looking for the kingdom of God, but they didn't have the right view of it. They thought it meant they were going to overtake Rome. But the kingdom of God was going to be reigned over by Jesus. And Jesus, when he would reign, would be here for 1,000 years, and that's yet to come. And he's saying to them, you should be seeking that, and I'm the king, and I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. And he does tell us how it goes in the next couple of verses. And part of the covetousness, this dialogue goes down in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Fear of man, avoid hypocrisy. Fullness of the heart, be careful of covetousness. It'll make a hypocrite out of you. I could go on to all the verses about the charlatan priests and preachers who make merchandise of you and that they try to get your money and they're always saying, send me this money and I'll give you that. I have a real problem with that. Faith Baptist Church does not ask for money on the radio. And I say this for the radio audience. We don't ask because we feel like we need to have a ministry. If you want to give, we'd be happy to put it toward our budget to this. But we don't ask you because we know how people think. And so our congregation goes all across the world through sermon audio and on the radio across our counties. And it's because I personally have a problem with asking people to give money for ministry. I'm telling you, this is a weird world we're living in. Never was there a time they could have made market on their messages. Freely have you received, freely therefore give. Now that's just one side of it. I'm not talking about how you pay your pastors. Don't muzzle the ox. I'm not saying that. And if the church didn't have any money to pay me, I'd probably still preach anyway, as long as they're not arresting me. And that may come. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your loins be girt about and your lights be burning. He talked about that in the last chapter. He told them, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light, in verses 33 to 36 in chapter 11. He says, and yourselves be like unto men who wait for their Lord, that when he returns from the wedding, underline those words, this is last day stuff. When Jesus returns from the wedding, he's returning for the marriage supper. Isn't that cool? Right there, he just said, you people who are here right now, be like men who are waiting for his Lord. That's the way you should have been. And then the end times, when they get to the time of Jacob's trouble, that's the way they should be then. They're looking for the bridegroom to come with his bride because it's from the wedding. They've gone up for 7 years in the weddings of the New Testament times. Bridegrooms would come and get their bride. You know, remember the whole bridegroom cometh parable of the virgins that were the handmaids of the woman who was to be married. He's trying to get them to know there's going to be a wedding. Okay? And you and I are the bride. He will have taken us up and out because he came to get his bride. Then there's the time of Jacob's trouble, which makes significant the United Arab Emirates making an agreement with Israel. And what we see is he said that when he knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Be a person who understands what's happening in the program of God. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.